Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Wix. Get started now. Get the website you've always wanted by going to wix.com/podcast. Get 10% off. Wix.com, wix.com/podcast. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what is the pitch black mass that terrifies a group of young children? Even after a pet passes, its spirit lives on in a home. And who is the spirit wandering the halls of a home late at night? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. The phone number, 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost story with us. Write in through the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. You can write in 24 hours a day, call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your real ghost stories with us. And of course, if you want all the bonus material that you hear us talking about, the EPP episodes, stands for Extra Podcast Person, you can sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all 250 some of those. Brand new ones every week for you, including advanced episodes of the show before they go public, and they're commercial free. So you get some extras there for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk about this for a while, and now we're finally here in the studio, and here it goes. There's a clown graveyard in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. it looks interesting. Forest Park, Illinois. Woodlawn Cemetery. Isn't that the cemetery where, is that
Resurrection
Mary?
I don't know. Maybe.
It sounds familiar. Or is it because there was a Woodlawn Cemetery in Wichita when we lived there?
I don't know.
Maybe that's where it's ringing a bell of like, that sounds familiar.
I don't remember a Woodlawn Cemetery in Wichita. There was a Woodlawn Street, but.
Oh, there's a cemetery. It was underneath the street.
Oh,
okay. No one knew about it. I don't know. I don't know if that's it or not. I don't know. Anyway, it's this horrible tragedy story. Someone posted it on our Facebook group page. Happened June 22nd, 1918. Members of circus asleep in the rear cars of a train. It was 4 a.m. The train stopped just outside of Hammond, Indiana, to cool an overhead axle box. Because, you know, when you're driving the train,
That happens. We've all been there. They were en route to their next performance, and then on the way to Monroe, Wisconsin, which they never made it to. Second train carrying animals and some people, 90 minutes ahead of them. They would not hear the disaster until they pulled into Hammond to find out that the train had was missing. They didn't know where it was. Turned out, what happened to it? The engineer had fallen asleep at the helm.
Not the engineer of...
Of the other train. Yeah. Another train. Another train had fallen asleep. Engineer had fallen... Thomas had fallen asleep. Oh, jeez. Thomas ran into the train, fallen asleep at the helm of an empty 21-car military troop train, missed the automatic signals and flares warning him of the stalled train up ahead, smashing into the wooden circus cars. About 35 miles an hour it hit. Most of the people believed to have been killed in the first 30 seconds. And all in all, how many people? It was like... 85. You knew this already. You've been studying up on this.
You know me and tragedy. I got to study up on it.
127 injured, 86 dead. Mm-hmm. A lot of them clowns. So now they made it. They said a mass grave.
They did. And they put headstones for the ones that they knew that they could tell who they were. And the sad part is they didn't know their real names. So they put their clown or their circus performance name on these headstones. So that's how these people are, you know,
memorialized.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That's like a lot of workplaces, though, today where it's like, well, Jim down in accounting, we never really got a chance to know his name.
I think
if an office blew up, they'd just be like, Jimbo. Everybody called him Jimbo in accounting is what would be on the grave if the office blows
up. I think at the end of the article, it even lists some of the names, like they put like Smiley or something like that, you know, and that's all they knew him as. And then there was a bunch of people, they couldn't even tell who they were at the end.
Badly Smiley, unknown female, 43. That's, I mean, how sad is that you die and your whole existence is to try and make people happy and put a smile on their face? It's what you do. It's what you travel around. It is your life. It is your identity as your career in this. And at the end, people are like, well, we're just kind of counting who's missing. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody else to speak up and go, yeah, so-and-so's gone. It's just more so, well, there's these other people who are missing, but nobody's calling out that, hey, so-and-so is gone. So we figure we knew we had these extra people. It must be one of them.
Yeah.
You work so hard just to try and make an impact and be happy to other people. And at the end, they don't even know your name.
Well, of that lifestyle, people would come and go. They would join the circus.
Sure.
And they would leave the circus. And, you know, so it was very, parts of it were very anonymous.
Yeah.
It's not funny. It's really sad.
It's not. It's not funny. It's just like, oh my God. It's quite amazing that's how that happened.
Yeah.
It's just, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at, it's a long story, but I do remember someone who had a fairly interesting family, and then them telling me one time that their brother attempted to run away with the circus once.
Okay.
And I'm just like, that seems about right.
Yeah.
But no offense to circus performers, but it was just like, that seems about right. So yeah, it was interesting. Today, the original circus wagons from that circus can be seen at Circus World Museum in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We could have stopped on our family vacation to see the remnants of the destroyed train.
It's not the remnants of the destroyed train.
It's just the ones that survived?
It's from the train ahead.
Okay. Well, that's...
Where all the elephants arrived and people didn't.
Okay. Jesus. There you go. That's your happy tidbit of information for the day, everybody. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Interesting little, they have like a elephant headstone that kind of marks the...
It outlines the whole area where they're buried. They have several elephants.
I wonder if it's haunted in that area.
I would imagine the spot where it happened is haunted.
Yeah. Look to find that and go for a hike. Okay, back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Wix. If you're looking to have the ultimate website created for yourself, for your business, blog, whatever it may be, Wix is the way to go. In fact, you can get 10% off right now. Go to wix.com/podcast. Over 140 million people use Wix for their website. That should tell you something. 140 million people doing anything simultaneously should tell you something. It means they like it. It means it works. And this is what's awesome about Wix is, number one, you can create the website and try it yourself for free. Okay, so before you even spend a penny, even before you get your 10% off by going to wix.com/podcast, you can try it for free. Start and publish for free. And you go, oh, this works great. I definitely want to keep using these guys. You can choose from over 500 stunning templates from start to scratch. If you are deep into web development and you know how to do it from scratch, there is a setup for you there as well. That's what's cool about Wix is it's made for any level of skill when it comes to website design, whether you are super advanced or whether you have difficulty opening your email and you want a website. They can help you. They have a setup. It's such an easy setup to build a website. You will be amazed. You get so many things with it. When you think about building a website, it used to be you got to get this over here and that over there, and then kind of all converge it together under your website. All of the tools are there for you. Everything you need, text, images, video, it's all there. And then all these things to make your website look awesome, video backgrounds, galleries, menus, forms, lists, buttons, social bars, clip art, strips, you name it, it's there, it's ready for you. It also includes built-in SEO tools, which is search engine optimization, if you're playing along at home. It helps you get found on online web searches like Google and Bing, very important. You can use Wix's SEO Wiz for a personalized plan, everything automatically optimized for any device, desktop or mobile. It's all there for you. If you're not using Wix for your website, I don't know why. Get the tools you need to create the website you want, unlimited storage, custom domain, email address for your business, email marketing tools, apps, support, ad vouchers. It's there. It's easy to use. And like I said, I love it. Whether you're you know, super advanced in design, whether you're kind of in the middle like me, or you're, you know, a novice, you've never done this, Wix is the solution for you. And whether it's a personal website, business website, you're going to walk away from this thing looking super professional and awesome. So check it out for yourself. Like I said, you can try it for free, but once you decide that, hey, you want to go forward, get 10% off. So start out by going to wix.com/podcast. That's wix.com/podcast. wix.com/podcast. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to our first letter. It says, okay, this is a strange story. I haven't told many people because some people would call me crazy. Once when I was a little boy, I was 4 years old, maybe five. I remember it very well due to this being my cousin's house. I had a strange occurrence happen there, and also very recently, which made me curious as to what it is that's following me. When I was a kid, the first time, I had gone over to my cousin's house, and we played Dark Alliance 2 and had a great time. Got to visit with my one-year-old baby cousin and also chill out with my year-younger cousin, Kevin. While I was over, everything was normal. My mom was working late, so it turned into a two-night thing. Nothing occurred on the first night. It was just another old-fashioned stayover. Again, we stayed and relaxed for the second night, and my cousin didn't have a bed. We slept on the one of those L-shaped couches. In the middle of the night, I woke up for some reason, although I don't know why. When I woke up, though, I had pretty decent eyesight back then. My cousin's PS2 flashed on, as did the TV, and the freakiest thing about it is that the PS2 turned on first, and then the time the disc tray opened. The light on the PS2 went red and the green and red again, which is strange due to the logic of it being on and the TV showing the PS2 symbol. And the noise. I closed my eyes, trembling for a moment, and when I opened them again, the area around the TV was just black. Nothing but black. My cousin had a nightlight, and the PS2 symbol was gone. The TV was gone. There was no light. Then, when I closed my eyes, I pulled a blanket over me until I saw the sun come through the thin fabric. When I saw the sun, I pulled the blanket back, ran over to tell my cousin, and of course, he did not believe me, but regardless, I know what I saw then. My cousin and I agreed to blame it on my little cousin, but that didn't explain the pitch black mass that I saw. Just want to know what it was. Now, many years later, I was turning 18, had a ton of things going on, finishing high school, looking for my first job. I was excited and thought I'd take about a month off, as most folks do, before working myself to the bone. During this time frame, the second occurrence happened many years later and without, because I had no understanding of it. On maybe the third or second week off, I was heading to bed after a long night of gaming. My grandparents were asleep in the house, and I had a bad day. Once I laid back on the comforter, I remember shutting off my TV with a remote and then setting it on the table by my bed. The bed was rather spacious and comfy, so I was glad for this. Once I started closing my eyes, I saw a bright green light, and I heard a very loud and familiar ringing in my ears. Once I heard it after a few seconds due to having an older TV in this house, I could feel my heart beating out of my chest. The ringing stayed at the subtle low hum as my Xbox sign-in noise occurred, letting me know everything was being logged in, but still, all I saw was that green light for the original loading sequence. What felt like minutes passed, I heard a shuffling noise, and then I could, behind my closed eyelids, see a shadowy black figure appear in front of the TV. It was very slow to stand in front of it, but it had a shape like a person, almost, but not exactly. On its head, I couldn't tell, but I could guess the outline of the head was off, as well as seeming like it had curves at the top that I could swear resembled horns. Tired of being scared of whatever it was, I reached over quickly, turned my light on beside the bed, and opened my eyes quickly. When I looked over at the TV, having turned back to it, the TV was off, the Xbox was off, and there was nothing whatsoever. Now, those are my two most memorable over these past few years, but as of late, I've been seeing a few more slightly unusual things, and I have no idea of what any of it could be or is. I've been debating if I'm losing it or if my brain's fried from work. I'm 23 now, and I've been working a lot and doing overtime to get some new computer equipment. The other occurrences I've been seeing, a faceless and human-like face in TVs at work. When I was 19, its eyes, sockets, and mouth were literally skin. Another occurred at 21, where an arm reached from beneath my bad, blackened butt with a slight shape. That's an interesting... I don't know. It's exactly where an arm reached from beneath my bad blackened butt with a slight shape. I don't know if Spellcheck had fun with that or if that's how they are literally describing what happened.
I think Spellcheck messed that up.
And at 22, a few weeks ago, before my birthday, there was a girl woman. I couldn't identify it, nor did I want to. I had stepped outside while in a party chat, and we were having a good night talking about new updates and changes. While talking on this, I saw a face from the corner of my eye, but it was very out of place, literally 15 feet away from me. It was standing there. She was white as day, and I could tell, but it looked like she had a mask on. I pretended not to notice as she looks at me from my own driveway so close, but she was white, just a solid white color. She had a large smile on her face and large white eyes with very small black pupils. I thought I felt my pulse stop. It had a terrifying feeling that if I knew I saw it, I don't know what would have happened. It just unnerved me in such a large manner. My friends on Xbox were trying to get me to respond to a question for a voting tally on another game, and I just stayed quiet as could be. Very slowly, I backed up and grabbed the door handle with one hand, dropped the cigarette I'd been smoking on the ground, and clutched my controller to my side. I quietly opened the door to the front door and backed inside and shut the door, locking it as well as the deadbolt to the door. Once inside, I didn't tell my friends. I was terrified about what happened. I grabbed one of my grandfather's old bow knives and sat in the other room after I had disconnected the party. Needless to say, I've not been able to sleep lately. These occurrences have caused me quite the dilemma, and I don't know if I'm losing it or if something is following me. I don't know if the TV shadow protects me or if it's after me. I don't know what the new things are, and it's kind of worrisome. I consider myself a rather sound person, and if anyone knows what any of these things are, please let me know. I'd be happy to be able to sleep with the lights off again.
There's a lot to address in this story, and I think what stuck out to me the most was the correlation between the two shadow figures and seeing them, and they either turned on the TV and the game console or turned it off, and there was two different time periods that happened and two different types of game consoles, and it's interesting that that has happened. I'm wondering if that is a sleep paralysis type thing. I know that typically when there's something in real, you know, waking life that's reflective of something actually happening. It's not really sleep paralysis, but I don't know if it's something, you know, kicking these things on or off. But it sounds like he's almost asleep at both times when that happens.
It does. What's really interesting is how it seems to kick on. They realize it's kicking on, and then something's blocking it. So it's not just, oh, it kicked on. Mm-hmm. That happens. Sometimes they auto-update and things of that nature, although the one he was talking about originally, the PS2, never did that. It didn't have that feature. But they could get kicked on relatively easy, like a little static could mm-hmm. kick them on. I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. What makes it more interesting is just the fact that then right after it got kicked on by something, whether some sort of energy kicked it on or a surge, and then it being blocked out. One of the things that I wonder about with that is, could it be poltergeist activity that is emanating from the individual?
Yeah.
Where it's something with that person's energy that's kicking it on and then causing this mass. And poltergeist is a rather confusing topic to me, because a lot of it is very inner based, where it's like it's caused by the individual. It's not even necessarily a ghost or an outside figure. It's some form of your own energy mm-hmm. causing it. That's why you see it a lot with teenage girls mm-hmm. and homes suddenly haunted, and then they grow up and go away and your poltergeists are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, our house is starting to get haunted as shit. But,
we're just enjoying the fun part of a young teen.
But that's what I justify the 666s on the walls all the time. But it's just, she likes to draw. That's another thought on this one mm-hmm. is, could it be something of that nature? Is this person sensitive? Is this to other things? I think that might be it too. When they're catching the woman standing off in the mm-hmm. distance. It might just be one of those things where they're picking up on it and others are not.
Yeah.
And they know that they can see, that this individual can see them. Creepy story. Thanks for the imagery. Do appreciate it. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says, hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Courtney from Northern Kentucky. I've written in a few times about a few experiences I've had, and I want to add a new one. As I type this, it's 3:30 a.m. I should be sleeping for work, but obviously I'm not. Something happened. It's been happening for the past few weeks, and I wanted to share it with you. Before I get into all that, let me preface this with some backstory. When I was 12, my parents brought home a cat, a long-haired calico named Annabelle. She'd come from the home of one of my mom's friends and co-workers. His wife was allergic, and the husband hated cats. We found out that he'd abused her and had kicked her down the stairs a time or two. I wasn't told that information then, and all I saw was a scared cat hiding behind our refrigerator. I was off school for the winter holiday, so I spent every waking hour trying to coax her from behind the fridge. She'd come out every now and then, but was petrified of my stepdad, so she would scurry back to her safe haven anytime she heard him get up from his chair or something. Within the week I had off school, I gained her trust. I don't know the moment exactly that it happened, but she became my cat after that. She followed me around like a puppy. When I'd come home from school and work later in life, she'd always be waiting for me at the garage door. When I'd be reading in bed, she would always jump up. You barely felt it. She was so light, and she would climb on top of me, back or stomach, whichever way I happened to be lying, and she'd curl up in a fluffy ball and fall asleep. She liked to be carried and would put her paws on either side like she was hugging you and nuzzle your face lovingly. She was hands down the best companion I ever had. We assumed she was at least a year or two when we rescued her from her previous owners. When I got older is when I found out the abuse that had been inflicted on her, and you better believe I showed her extra love. Annabelle passed away in October of 2017 due to kidney failure. It's a loss I still feel today. To the best of our knowledge, she had been 22, and she had lived a mostly good life. She had eventually gotten over her fear of my stepdad and all other men and took to loving not just me, but everyone in my household too. It was a loss felt by the whole house. I got her cremated, and her ashes are in a beautiful wooden box with a picture of her on the front. When I moved out of my parents' house, I kept her there until I had a place for her. Always from my cat, who likes to knock things off a flat surface. I was afraid he'd be curious around her ashes, and I didn't think I could lose Annabelle twice. I recently brought her home with me, and she's always next to me on my nightstand. I knew ghost pets could exist because I always heard my dad's old dog walking across his basement floor, but I didn't know I would ever have an up-close experience with one. In hindsight, I'm not surprised, as Annabelle and I were two peas in a pod. A few weeks ago, I was lying in bed after having just come back from the bathroom. I had one cat, Obi, snoozing at my elbow and another Kilo snoozing at my feet. I was in a half-sleep sort of state when I felt the distinct feeling of a cat jumping on the bed. I didn't think anything of it until I did a mental count of the number of cats I had and the number of cats currently on my bed with me. I looked down at my feet where I had felt it, but of course all I saw was Kilo sawing logs at the end of the bed. I wasn't freaked out, merely curious and wondering if I'd imagined it. And if I'm imagining it, though, if I'm doing so every single night. I'm never afraid when it happens. Actually, I'm comforted. I miss her more than words can express, and I'm glad she's no longer suffering from her ailments. But having these moments every night is a good way for me to get some semblance of life with her back again. It happened again tonight. I felt her slight weight jump up onto the bed. Felt the covers near my feet pull a little tighter as they were walking over, and then nothing. I like to think she's settling in beside me with my other cats, who are both assholes, but I love them all the same. Anyway, that's my story. It's nothing too paranormal or even super interesting, but it's one of my favorites out of everything else I've been experiencing lately, and I wanted to share. I'm an EPP. I love listening to you guys at work. It helps the day go by faster for me. Keep it up. You guys are awesome. Much love, Courtney.
That is... it's such a sweet story, but it's something we hear so often.
From me.
Well, and pets, you know, hearing from our listeners say that their pets have not really crossed over, that they're still there. They cuddle up at night or whatever. It makes you wonder if it's, you know, them just going through what their normal routine is, or if it's a residual.
That's, you know, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, it's it is something that I do wonder about. Where it seems to be such a regular basis. And that's what I wonder about with what my cat did forever, where I kept feeling it. And I, again, it's weird because I never thought of it as ghostly until all these years later of doing the show. I just thought it was in my mind. I just thought it was, I'm just so used to, sure, to that. You know, it's an interesting thing because when I would feel that, I wasn't like super asleep, you know, like, you know, when you're kind of somewhat out of it and you're like, but I from what I remember, I was just kind of just laying there and I was like, oh, the cat's on the bed. No, wait a second. The cat's dead. You know, it's weird. But there was another thing that I would hear all the time, and I know it wasn't ghostly, but it was weird that my mind would do it. And this is an example of something that is, it's residual, but it's not ghostly. It's residual because of the repetition of experiencing it so often for such a long period of time, where your mind just says, okay, it's time to hear this. And that was the sound of my dad leaving in the morning for work. Every single morning for 18 years of my life at about whatever time it was in the morning, I would hear... he would always be gone right before I would go to school, but I would hear the very distinct sound of his truck backing out of the driveway. It would be a backup and onto it. It's gravel. And you hear the gravel crunch, and then he stopped because he had a back, and then, you know, put it back into drive, and then the crunch again going forward. Very distinct.
Yeah.
Backing going forward sound that you'd have to do in that driveway. And for years after moving out, I would hear that. I would be in apartments in the middle of a city, and I'd wake up in the morning and you just start to open your eyes, and then I'd hear that sound. And I would, for the longest time, be like, oh, Dad's going to work. I'm like, wait a second. I'm not 15. I'm 22.
Yeah.
And I don't live anywhere near there anymore. But I would hear it. And it was, you know, I'd be halfway asleep, but I conditionally heard it. I knew it wasn't like a ghost thing or anything, but that's different than a residual haunting, where it's not something that you hear on a regular basis every day and it's repeating, but it's just that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
It's something to think about when you do have something like that is repeated every day. And then let's say the person's gone and you still hear it. Is it always the person, or is it just more so your remembering it.
I don't know. I don't know if you're just, your mind is replaying comforting sounds. And not that, you know, hearing your dad leave every morning is particularly comforting. It's just more so something you're used to, which therefore is comforting.
It's just similarity, yeah.
Yeah, or the cat, you know. Mm-hmm. It just makes you wonder if your mind is doing these things, because obviously your dad's not following you around everywhere you go and backing out every morning.
I think my dad is involved in some sort of dark arts, and he's like, I'm going to send my sound of truck backing up onto Tony every morning.
No.
And there's a little ritual in the garage behind his boat. There was one time I walked back there and he had all these candles lit, and he was sitting in cross-legged on the ground.
Your pentagram. Dad is so opposite of that, whatever that is.
He was wearing like a robe, and it was really weird. It was just
okay.
He had a fish on his head. Okay. My dad doesn't even believe in ghosts.
No, so. Which is so ironic.
It's really easy to talk about what I do. What are you talking about today? Shit you don't believe in. So there you go.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Next one says, when I was about 15 to 17, I was staying the night with my Nana and Pappy with my cousin Owen. Well, they have a downstairs of their tanning bedroom, which also has a bed in there as well. Around 2 a.m., I was up playing with the computer because they got free internet from 2 to 8 a.m. Well, as I was playing on the computer, I heard a car door shut outside the window. So I thought it was my uncle coming up or something, because at the time he stayed there. Waited 5 to 10 minutes, never came in. Heard a car door shut again. I was like, okay, maybe he forgot something. Waited another 10 minutes and no one ever came in. At that point, I was scared. So around 2:30, I went to bed. I was lying in bed. On my phone, the door creeps open. Call out my cousin's name because he loves to play pranks and stuff. So I thought it was him. And the door slammed shut, then opened back up. And nope, Owen well. And no Owen. I'm inserting my own periods into this story, by the way. So, I'm doing okay. Well, the last time it opened, I peeked my head out the door to see if anyone was downstairs. Well, when I didn't see anybody, I walked upstairs and checked my cousin's room, whose door wasn't closed. So I opened it up, was sound asleep. I walked downstairs, went to bed, but with caution, because I was scared. I do believe in ghosts, because ever since I was little, I could speak and hear the dead. And they always came to me with their problems. I know it sounds like very Jennifer Love Hewitt from Ghost Whisperer, but I'm telling the truth. Do I think it had something to do with a ghost? Of course I do. But a small part of me wants to believe that it was my cousin. When the next day came, I told my Nana and Pappy and even Owen, and they just laughed and said that I was crazy. Owen said, why would I do that? Shelby, I was sound asleep last night. Didn't even get up to go to the bathroom. I even told my mom and sisters, and I think I even told my dad when I went over to his house. To this day, I'm still freaked out, and I've never figured out what happened downstairs. It's 2019, and I'm still freaked out. It was like 2015, or 16, or 17, I don't know which one, but it's been at least 2 years this happened. Maybe it was a shy ghost who just wanted to have fun, but I never looked at the history of my Nana and Pappy's house. Wonder if that would reveal any answers.
Could it just be somebody that used to live there, their energy coming and going?
It could be.
Yeah. I'm wondering that, since it's not very... I mean, it's a lot like what we just talked about with you hearing your dad.
Yeah.
And your dad's not there. It could just be that.
Yeah. It's just the residual. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. Especially without periods. Da-da-da. That's my hint. I love the story. Thank you for sharing that. But a pro tip here, when you send in stories to the show, please try and use periods in your sentences.
Well, does the form where they put it in, does it have spell check?
No.
So here's what you guys do. You put it into something that has spell check, and then you copy and paste it.
Or your sometimes browsers have it built in. Mine does now. Wherever I type something, it'll help with it.
And, you know, of course, then you also have autocorrect, where you end up with brown butt bed or something from that last
you never
story.
Know what you're gonna get.
Yeah,
but I mean, and I honestly I can do better. That just depends. Sometimes I can decipher word meanings. Sometimes periods are very difficult, though, to know when a sentence ends or starts.
Commas are extremely important, too.
Because I run everything through a spell program once I get it into. Mm-hmm. But the thing it has difficulty with more than anything is when there's no periods.
Okay.
It will detect where it should have a comma, but for some reason it doesn't know where a sentence ends or begins. Mm-hmm. So just a request.
Yeah.
From the reader of the stories. I appreciate periods. It helps. There's actually been some. This is a smaller story, so I figured I could get through it. And I did, really, relatively not that too difficult. There's been some where, I swear to God, it's like a book. And it looks like it could be an interesting story. Mm-hmm. But it would take 2 hours to figure out where the sentences begin and end. And I feel bad because somebody took the time to write it. And if they just took the time to press the period, I could read it and use it. But so anyway,
you off your soapbox yet?
If you're going to write in, use a period. Thank you.
Now you're going to get like 3 periods after every sentence.
That's how I write. I overuse periods. Mm-hmm. I that is one of my biggest flaws when I'm writing. I've gotten better at it, but I used to do the dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's how I speak half the time. And that's not how you should write.
No.
But I do that quite a bit. And I know I don't grammatically speak correctly, but oh well. It's my show. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hello, my name is Rebecca. I'm from San Diego, and I love your show. I'm really looking forward to becoming an EP. I've been wanting to call to share a story. This happened to me about a week ago. It's a sleep paralysis story. So I fell asleep and I just, you know, like every other night, just do my routine before I go to bed. I never saw a scary story, a scary movie. I just did my normal routine and just, you know, went to sleep because I had to work the next day. As I'm sleeping, I don't know what time, you know, it could have been like 2-3 in the morning. I think it was about 2 or 3 a.m. I'm sleeping, and then all of a sudden, like, I am laying on my back. And I never really sleep laying on my back, but I don't know. That's the way I woke up. So as I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming that this man jumps on me and puts a pillow on my face, and as he does it, he says, "I'm not a ghost, I'm real," like in a really scary voice. So he's like trying to kill me or suffocate me while I'm dreaming, and then that's when the sleep paralysis kicks in. I try to yell, like, you know, I try to gasp for air, and I can't move, I can't open my mouth. I'm literally screaming inside my body, like, help, help. And I couldn't open my mouth. I know I'm sleeping. And I literally feel like there's someone on me with a pillow on my face. And then suddenly, like, I started praying inside of me because I couldn't open my mouth. And I just said, I kept on saying in my head, in this house, we will serve the Lord. In this house, we will serve the Lord. And then I started saying that. And all of a sudden, like, I woke up screaming, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then all of a sudden, I realized that I had had a paranormal encounter. But it was a dream. But it was sleep paralysis. So it was like a mixture of things. So anyway, I woke up. I was really creeped out. I tried to go back to sleep and I couldn't, and that's my story, the sleep paralysis story. It's only happened to me like twice in my entire life, and it's pretty scary. It's not a good feeling at all. So anyway, bye Jenny, bye Tony, love your show. I hope to hear the story. Take care, bye.
I think that might be one of the first where we had sleep paralysis overlap with a paranormal dream,
mm-hmm.
which makes me definitely think it's more than sleep paralysis.
You get the best of both.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of real, a little bit of ghost.
Okay.
So to speak.
Okay.
But you do. I mean, you get the mixture of the sleep paralysis mix. Is some of it mental in that case, and then some of it is the paranormal mixing in, or is it the dream completely, this paralysis and what you're saying all influenced by the encounter?
I don't know. I think it's interesting that it started out in the dream, and then, you know, usually when you have a nightmare, you know, mm-hmm. you're pretty awake because it's scary, but it sent her into a sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
So that's why I just think it's different.
It is different. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here on the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. As we're doing this, and this will be old news by the time you hear this, but it looks like it's breaking right now.
Oh, boy.
Nothing horrible.
Okay, good.
The Walking Dead comic is ending with 193. It's going to be done.
Oh.
That's interesting. So, with the television show being based loosely on the comic, does that mean that we're in towards the end of the show then?
I think you're going to have a lot of characters cross over into Fear. Mm-hmm. And that's going to go on for another several seasons, and then it'll end.
Mm-hmm.
I think the original is close to being done. That's my opinion after having watched every single episode.
AMC says the following Walking Dead comic series won't be coming to comic series. AMC, the Walking Dead comic series ending won't impact TV series.
Okay.
But the comic is like ahead of the TV series by quite a bit, isn't it? In terms of,
I think so, but timing. Aren't they planning on ending Walking Dead after season 10?
Not officially, I don't believe.
Enough of the main characters are leaving that I would imagine so.
I'm on board with what you're saying. I think what's going to happen is they're the ones that are going to want to continue, probably none of the original, or maybe like one. Mm-hmm. They're going to slowly start showing up in Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And then that one is the one that's going to live on longer. And then 5 or 6 years later, they're going to be like, shit, we should bring it back. And then they'll bring back the original.
Yeah.
Rick will come back and he'll have Carl as a pet zombie. And it'll be really weird. It'll be really just bizarre. So there you go. It's interesting. I've never looked at the comic ever. I'm not a comic book person.
I feel like it's going to spoil too much. Like, everybody knew the big, you know, ending of last season, the heads on the pikes was coming because of the comic. I don't look at the comic, so that was like shocking to me.
Sure. Yeah, I like that.
I do too.
When I was a kid, I'm nothing against comics. I just, it just doesn't hold my attention.
No.
So, anyway. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Few more tickets left for the August 11th show at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Get them before they are gone at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.